Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we're here with my very amazing friend, Tanya Gilchrist, who is a consultant, learner, and amplifier of inquiry education. We'll discuss their journey and experience in education today. Tanya, thank you so much for being our very first guest here at Recess Duty. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic because I'm here with you. So I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited that you're putting this podcast out into the world and just honored to get to be like the inaugural first guest.
So absolutely.
So thrilled to be here. Yeah, excited to get to chat together.
Like I said earlier, when I started this, I knew my very first person was going to have to be you because I remember starting Twitter. And I think one of the first people I started connecting with was you. And we have supported each other in our growth and our learning every step of the way. You in Japan, you going to EKC, me going to China, me coming to here in Korea. And it's just been an amazing friendship. And I knew I had to have you.
Oh, that's so neat to even just think about that, you know, like across the years, knowing each other and all. Like surprisingly through Twitter, then getting to meet each other in person and just, I'm just so grateful for our friendship and so grateful that, that you're putting this out into the world too.
Well, thank you
really
so much.
Exciting. An opportunity to share ideas, you know, I know Twitter helps us do that. And I feel like this podcast is like next level, bringing educators together to get to talk and share and learn with one another, super powerful. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's supposed to be just a fun experience, fun place to just connect with friends and to share ideas and successes. So Tanya, for friends of ours who are first listening in to our first episode, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Tanya Gilchrist and where are you and what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm currently in Albania. So I'm based in Albania in Southern Europe in the Mediterranean. And I'm originally from the US. I've spent several years though now overseas. So like you mentioned, Japan, first went overseas to Thailand, then Japan, and now Albania. So it's been a wonderful opportunity in all of those places. And I spent many years as a classroom teacher and then also as a tech coach and a literacy coach. First in U.S. public schools, and then when I went overseas is when I really got into IB education, working within the PYP and then MYP. And then now I get the gift of supporting teachers and schools around the world as a strategist with EKC, with Aaron Kent Consulting. So, and we focus on all things literacy, inquiry, agency, learning. Really, my work now is about all kind of meeting with a school, with learning leaders at a school and kind of thinking, what are your big goals and who are you as a school? And then we really just customize and create a learning plan that can support them in those goals. So that's a lot of fun is that it looks different everywhere. Yeah. So some schools, we might focus more on readers, writers, workshop. Some might be focused more on like concept-driven literacy or learning. Some might be focused more on like powerful feedback to feed forward or translanguaging or whatever. It can look different at different schools, but just getting the gift, to me, it feels like such a gift to get to help and support in those goals. And, you know, my title is like EKC strategist, and I really appreciate that word, that it's like, let's strategize together. So with whoever I'm working with, teachers and leaders at a school, like, what does this look like here for you? And how can I best help and support? So that's kind of what I'm doing now. And pre-pandemic, that meant traveling around the world. So going to schools and being there in person, getting in their classrooms to show, perhaps show some things in action so they could see theory and practice. I'd do a lot of demo teaching in the classroom and then we'd grow ideas together from there. And then of course, with the pandemic, all of that moved to Zoom. So most of my time lately has been all Zoom all the time with virtual workshops, but that's actually been a lot of fun too. I've learned a ton about what we can do with technology. And I'm excited to see we're just now starting as sort of waves turn and what we've all been living through in the world. We're just starting to kind of do some hybrid work with schools, which so far has been really powerful. So they might have a few online sessions at first to lay some groundwork. And then I get to go in person and we take it into the classroom and we meet in person and grow. And then we might have a few follow-up online sessions. So it has added layers of flexibility, which is really exciting. And honestly, I don't think I would have ever done it if we weren't supposed to. I think it would have just, you know, as it often is, you're in a whirlwind and it would have just stayed like all in person. But now we've seen, oh, there, we can add other things in the mix and kind of have the best of both worlds. So it's exciting to think about possibilities.
No, absolutely. And what I hear and what I see, because I follow you very closely as your friend, you are everywhere. You are with all the schools that I can think of. You're in classrooms virtually, helping feedback to feed forward, helping student agency, teacher agency, and all of these things, and giving workshops even during the summer, which I have actually partaken. And I highly recommend the feedback to feed forward because it was really amazing and very helpful for an educator. What are some things when you're doing all of these planning for so much that what are some things that you go with?
Like what are some things that I go with in my planning? Like to help me? You know, that's a great question. I think for me, I think for everyone, it would probably look different. But for me, I always try, like, I'm definitely a reader. I love to read. And so to me, a part of my process is whatever, kind of going back to those goals that it's sometimes it's a grade level team I'm working with is lifting up their goals. Sometimes it's a whole school, like school leaders lifting up goals, but thinking what can I synthesize together for them of bringing like what research tells us along with what's kind of like cutting edge out there along with what's tried and true. So I usually try to get like a stack of texts, both new and classic and on a certain topic. So if we're looking at what does make powerful feedback, like let me dig into some research and also some professional reads out there around it. That's usually where I start. And then trying to like take together the different threads and be able to synthesize for a team who is in the whirlwind that we're often in classrooms and is like, I'd love to know what's best, but like, I can kind of like fill up and like study this topic and then bring to them the biggest ideas in a synthesized way and then build something together. So I think that's a piece of it is ensuring, I guess one way to think about it is it's never just like doing what I've always done. You know, It always looks different because we're always growing and always evolving. So I think my first step is like, okay, what do we know about this concept and what's new about this concept? What's both new and tried and true? And bringing that, not just, it's never like just doing the same thing. Like, you know, every time we talk about feedback, it's a little different because there's new thinking. We're always growing and evolving, which is really exciting for me. So that keeps things going strong. I do have to say it's been interesting. The switch to the pandemic was honestly pretty interesting because I went from, you know, pre-pandemic, I'd be on site at a school. Mm-hmm. So you were one school for that week, you know, like maybe it's okay. I'm like, this school is my focus for this week, Monday through Friday. But now I'll have, you know, I might be with Vienna for a morning session and then, you know, Doha in the afternoon and then Singapore the next morning. Like, because if it's an hour and a half or 2 hour virtual session, you can have several of them in your day. So That's added a different element to planning where now I've had to be really thoughtful and like planning, shifting those gears while still being really intentional to stay right on the pulse of a school. It's a different rhythm, I think, you know, than being like, oh, this week I'm at this one school. Now it's like different places throughout the week and switching those gears. So that's been interesting to just kind of learn a new rhythm. I think just reading helps me a ton. It might be podcasts or whatever, but I get really excited to like get a new professional read and dive in. And then like, usually I love looking at the references of those professional reads and then going to the actual research studies themselves and like making my own meaning and synthesizing is exciting work. And then something you and I would both know for planning, Canva. Can I just say Canva is a game changer. So I do want to give a shout out Canva for design, like all my slides and things. It helps me a ton to make nice visuals, especially for this virtual work. You know, that is different than being in person. So I utilize Canva a lot and Padlet and Jamboard are all tools that I find in my when I'm planning for virtual workshops. Those are some go-to tools that help kind of bring things to life.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not in person, when it's no longer just grab a piece of chart paper and some markers, like instead what might we use instead? Canva and Padlet and Jamboard help a lot with the planning and the living it too. The live
set. Yeah, absolutely. And I do agree. Canva has been just an absolute lifesaver for distance learning, helping with creating visually appealing content that kids can relate to, kids can dive into and can interact with. It's been an absolute lifesaver.
Yeah, I saw a great, you just shared on Twitter the other day, like a great template that you had found in Canva that you're able to just tweak. And it was awesome. You know, you also be able to utilize, like they have some good kind of starter templates and then you can adapt it and make it your own.
Yeah. No, I was really excited about that. And I was just running around looking for something for inspiration. And I saw this, I was like, oh my goodness, that is going to be so wonderful to document their process of learning this song. And I was like, we're going to use this. And it worked beautifully. It really did. I was very happy with it. And we are now in the process of creating my own little template, very similar to that, because I thought it was brilliant. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I loved it. And it did look like what you just nailed there. I think, you know, knowing many of us, many around the world who are listening to this might be, you know, IB teachers or in international schools or in inquiry-based schools, you know, that idea of approaches to learning. Like it was definitely showing you with your students, like it was about the process and their thinking, those thinking skills and reflective skills, which is really powerful to see. So
yeah, and that's,
I love seeing it.
Thank you so much.
Go to Levi's Twitter stream and check out. Always sharing good things.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's very easy when you have friends like you giving out amazing stuff. Tanya, you mentioned about reading and being a reader, and you are always reading a book. What are you reading currently, or what is something that you want people to go and check out?
Ooh, so currently right now, for professional reads, I was just actually reading two different books recently. I just finished one, The Responsive Writing Teacher, which was excellent. So if you're thinking about like writer's workshop and responsive teaching, it's a beautiful one. So I'd say that's the one I just finished it. And then as far as what I think others should definitely read, that one's great. I also, over the summer, we did an EKC book club with Rooted in Strength. And it's all about taking a translanguaging approach, which I think is especially important in our international school context. So that would be a beautiful book to pick up if you're looking for a great read across disciplines, subject areas. And I love even the title, Rooted in Strength. Yeah. Like, so this assets-based approach to not just culturally responsive pedagogies, but culturally sustaining, you know, how are we sustaining what students are bringing to us and who they are and really honoring that. So there's a lot wrapped into translanguaging. And I feel like there are many wonderful books out there about translanguaging, but in particular, what I like about Rooted in Strength is they do a beautiful job of blending together, like the theory and what we know and what research tells us and like the practical of like how to do this right now in your classroom. So they kind of lift up our why and like speak to your heart, speak to research, and then say, and here's what you can do next. Here are some next steps. So I really appreciate that too. And then if anyone out there is interested, we have on our EKC website, we then interviewed the authors. We have many author interviews there. So you can check out others as well from just fantastic, fantastic authors and people like Cornelius Minor, Lauren Evan Robb, Katie Cunningham, Katie Egan Cunningham, Andrea Honigsfeld. I know I'm forgetting some just wonderful people who have gifted us with their time. And the co-authors of Rooted in Strength are our most recent addition. So you can watch video chats with them. So yeah, I'm trying to think any other books. I also gained a lot like other professional reads. Another good one is if you're thinking a lot, I know a big trend, I'm trying to think like trends around the world of what feels especially important right now. I know a lot of schools are thinking about authenticity and their assessment and like really assessment as a process. So Assessment Capable Learners with Hattie and Fisher and Frey, that's another really good one.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many great books out there. I feel like the list could go on and on, but yeah, those are some of the ones that come. And then, I should say one of my all-time favorite books ever. So it's not new, but it's by Peter Johnston and it's called Choice Words. And anything by Peter Johnston you will love, but my favorite, and it's all about the language we use as teachers. So if you're thinking a lot about agency, Choice Words is really, really good. And just the power of the work we do, like kind of the environment we set, the way we talk with kids, the impact and the power that can have. So it's another great one for across the disciplines and definitely for those of us thinking about agency, I'd say Choice Words. And then another good one in that vein of agency is What's the Best That Could Happen? Which I love that title. Instead of thinking, about all the things bad that could happen if you open up space for voice, choice, and ownership in your room. Instead, it's really the flip of what's the best that could happen. There's a lot of powerful, beautiful things that happen when we open up that space. And that one's by, I believe, Debbie Miller. So cool. I could talk about books all day. I won't keep going on. But love them. Love. Always have a big stack. And those are, I know after this conversation, I'm going to be like, oh, what? How did I not mention that one? Like the other favorite that I have. But yeah, a good starting place would be, I guess, going to those author chats that we've had. Yeah. VKC, because those are ones we've done as book clubs, and all of those books are just amazing. Yeah, really.
That's amazing.
Really lift up great ideas.
Tanya, you've talked about agency a couple of times, both student and teacher, consultant, coach, and leader. You know, what are some myths with your experience across the world? What are some myths about agency that you're encountering, and how can we challenge those? How can we shine lights to them?
That's a juicy question, my friend. I'm glad you asked that. I'd love to hear whatever, like, I think that's one of those you're like, oh, I'd love that to be like in a collaborative space near everyone's thinking around that. So I'd love to hear from anyone listening, like, you know, let me know what you think on Twitter or email, whatever, too. But, you know, some that I for sure have seen come up, I guess I'm thinking of two big ones straight away. So one big one would be this myth that agency is all about kind of almost chaos. Like that if you think we're honoring agency, then it's just like to each their own and do whatever you want. But it's actually quite the opposite. Like a huge part of agency is about relationships and connection to the bigger world. When you look at, you know, research out there from Bandura and others, like it kind of agency and autonomy are so connected to how we thrive as people, but it's not from a selfish place. And that's sometimes a misconception is people think, oh, if I let students have agency, or if I'm a leader and I let teachers have agency, for example, like then things are just going to, it's going to be everyone doing their own thing. But really agency is about cohesion, and it's about like us decide having voice and choice and ownership in what's happening in my community, whether it's a classroom community or a school community. We can still have cohesion around these are our values and this we believe, so we will. And that there are different ways it can look though. And I have ownership and voice in that. So I think, you know, for those kind of interested in that vein, a few months ago, I wrote a little piece for Kimberly Mitchell. She's Inquiry 5 on Twitter, and she has an inquiry spotlight on her blog. One where I wrote about that kind of lifting up, if you want to see like some of the research behind this or some thinking behind it of how agency is not just about doing whatever you want, you know, for sure you are a part of it, but it's bigger than that. And so I think that can be one powerful mind shift and can open up more space for teachers, leaders, parents, whoever to feel like, oh, okay. So sometimes there's scope to what we have voice, choice, and ownership in sometimes, but it's about creating cohesion, kind of the opposite of what we sometimes think. And then I think one other big misconception or myth is sometimes that like agency is just choice. Mm-hmm. So we know in the IB, we often hear the nice, concise kind of definition of choice, voice, and ownership. And so not to forget, I would say like, don't forget those other pieces, especially the ownership piece.
Yeah.
So for sure, choice is powerful and it's often the gateway. The driver of agency, you know, so we do want to offer up choice, and there's so many places to offer up choice. So it's a beautiful starting place. If you're an educator and you're thinking, I really want to lift up more agency, but I'm not sure where to start. Choice is a beautiful starting place, but we don't want to stop there. It's kind of the gateway to agency. Yeah. Don't forget the voice and don't forget the ownership. Like at its heart, what agency is really about is like intentional, sound decision-making. So I think that would be one thing to put out there is what we really, when we really say we want kids to be agentic, what we're saying is we want them to be able to make sound decisions for life, like in their own life and their own learning. Can they monitor themselves and think, how am I doing on this? Where to next? You know, that assessment as learning, that self-assessment, can they harness like what worked well and what didn't? Do they have the reflective thinking skills to know like, that didn't work so well. I'm going to change that next time. Oh, this worked really well. I'm going to do that again. Like we want them to be intentional decision makers. And so really, if we're thinking about agency in our classrooms, I think a big piece is thinking not only about choice. Again, it's powerful and important. And also in addition, where are students getting on the regular, on the daily opportunities to make decisions? Because the only way you're going to get better at making decisions is by making decisions.
Yeah, is by having the opportunity.
Yeah, you got to practice and learn like, well, that didn't work. Yeah. Oh, that did. Well, here's how. And like from the youngest, earliest ages, like getting practice and doing that is so important. So opening up space for us to have things work and not work and problem solve and build resilience and make those decisions is a lens that I sometimes just gets overlooked, you know, where it's like that ownership piece. Like, don't forget that ownership piece. That's really important.
No, absolutely. And when I'm here agreeing 100%, because I often say that same thing about it's a free for all when people ask me, what's your myth of inquiry? And I was like, the fact that everybody thinks it's just a free for all and kids are choosing whatever, whenever, and however they want to do anything. And I'm like, no, there's definitely different levels. There's definitely different structures. There's guidance, there's co-creation, there's facilitation all within that. And I see so much of that in your own work when you're talking about, you know, co-creating work with the schools. What is the school wanting to do co-creating that? What are some challenges that you faced with co-creation and how have you overcome those?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think some potential challenges of co-creation can sometimes be the wanting to ensure that we are all talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
So sort of this shared understanding or almost a definition of terms. So a lot of times with teams and schools, we'll start our learning journey together with at EKC, what we often call sunflower time. So this idea that like sunflowers all turn and face the same direction. They all turn and face the sun because they value the sun and the sun gives them life. So we kind of spend our first session together often thinking like, what are our values as a whole school? And like, let's turn and face those all together, same page. Let's define our terms. Often I'll lift up, there's a quote credited to Socrates, but it's the beginning of wisdom is the definition of terms. And I think that's so true. Like kind of what you were just saying, Levi, with inquiry, like if I might think, say, inquiry learning and think one thing, maybe you think something different. Maybe Weston thinks something different. So-and-so thinks something different. And then like we all come together to talk about inquiry and make a plan for how we want to grow an inquiry, but we're all talking about different things. So instead that sunflower time is let's start with defining our terms. What is inquiry? Like here in our context, in our community, how do like, let's name it and kind of just define it so that then we can build on this with a shared understanding of what we're talking about and what we're not talking about and grow in that together. So I think anytime with co-creation, it can be really powerful to first ensure like, are we talking about the same thing? Do we define their terms?
Yeah.
Because then you can really co-create something powerful together. You're on the same page and can go from there.
Well, it goes back to the why and the how and the what. We got to make sure that our why is all the same. We got to make sure that what we are valuing as a organization is all the same before we can ever talk about how and what to do. If we're all over the why, we're just playing whack-a-mole constantly. Mm-hmm. And with that, how has your experience and your different things changed your mind about education? Because I know you've done so many different roles. You've mentioned you being a teacher, you were a coach, you were a tech coach, literacy coach. Now you're a consultant. You've seen a wide gambit of organizations, learning, people on different journeys. So what have you seen that's really stood out that has really been like, wow, I didn't expect that? What has changed your mind?
You know, I think, man, so many things. I feel right? like often use that frame of like, I used to think, now I think. I feel like I could have like 17 billion of those because like that's life. Like that's learning. Like, man, I used to think this, but now, and that excites me. Like, I think I always want to be learning. I never want to think that it's just like, oh, well, that's totally done. I mean, for sure. Now, at the same time, we have our values, like you and I were just talking about, our values stay true and consistent, but the nuance and the layers and the different ways it can look are always changing. So I think kind of that in itself was one of the biggest things that I've learned with just working with so many different schools and different contexts is that it's not one way. Yeah. And I think sometimes in humans in general, across all like fields and you know, not just education, but I think also definitely in education, we do tend to get, some things can become very extreme or like dogmatic, or like there's pendulum swings from like, it's all this or it's all this, like dichotomies of like either or, like it's either this way or it's this way. Like either you're explicitly teaching or it's open inquiry, or either it's all about foundational literacy or you're all about like meaning making. And it's like, no, instead of either or, like, and both is usually what, what I find again and again is, what's most powerful is usually in that middle, that beautiful middle somewhere in between the extreme. So that's been a big one, is to remember that always, is that, it's not either or, it's and both. And so everywhere around the world, it can look different ways. You know, it doesn't look the same. So I feel like so often, you know, a lot of times, again, I get the gift and opportunity to kind of coach in to different work that's happening, and you'll get all sorts of questions. And I feel like normally my questions always start with, well, it depends, you know, and then you have to, you have to talk about what's the context. Like, I think I've learned a lot again and again, that context matters so much. You know, if we're going to talk about what works best to help readers, you know, grow more interest and engagement in readers, well, it's like, well, it depends. Like, what part of the world are your readers in? What's their context? What's their background? Where are they already at now in their journey? You know, and same thing for a school. Like, what will best help us grow in this goal or that goal? Well, it depends. Like, talk to me about like your culture and your context and what you've already done. So I think just seeing there's not one way has been one of the, and which really comes back, those of us who do teach within IB schools, like so many of our IB core values of like being open-minded. You know, I think about that mission statement from the IB, and I'm paraphrasing, but where the end says something along the lines of knowing that both people with their differences can both be right. And I think like, that's it. It's like, well, I'm never going to come in and be like, this is the one way you should do this thing at your school, because there's different ways. So let's talk about who you are, and let's learn more, and let's think of the way it could look in this context.
Absolutely. And when you're like looking at those contexts and you're looking at either or, and trying to get to the and, but you're also trying to look at perspective and how, what an amazing way of looking at, it's going to look different for you. It's going to look different for you. And your perspective is going to be different how it looks depending both, but you're both correct.
That's it. But it's not about a right or a wrong, you know. In fact, like, that's the beauty of collaboration. You know, I know you and I have talked in Twitter chats before about this, so you might already know what I'm going to say, but one of my favorite quotes about collaboration is that collaboration is not the gluing together of existing egos. Instead, it's the ideas that never existed until everyone entered the room. So it's like, I think that's a big reminder of like, when we enter any conversation, it's not about, I'm going to prove I'm right. Instead, it's about growing a new idea that didn't exist before. Like, probably some of what you think and some of what I think, and they can be quite different, but what might we take away together from that?
Absolutely. Really, and powerful. I knew exactly what you're going to talk about, because I took a screenshot of that quote on my phone, and I saved it as my background for a very long time, because I was struggling with collaboration, because it was so much of dichotomy of either or, and I didn't fit in either of them. And I was like, well, then am I not collaborating because I'm not this or that? And it was really tough for me because of that. And I was just like, I got to remember our goal. And the goal was of creating a new understanding that wasn't there before. And I absolutely do love your thing. And also, you've written some amazing work on about collaboration in your own blog. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, that's so kind. First of all, I love that you had that as a screenshot and that it was helpful. That, you know, it was such kindred hearts again and again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do have a blog. I'm not able to write on it as often as I was in the past with just current schedule, but I do try to still post semi-regularly. But it's just my name, TanyaGilchrist.com. And there's, just lots of posts on there from across the years of really just anything that's on my mind. And so lately with my work as a strategist, it's been like, what trends am I seeing around the world? So there's things on there around collaboration, things around like relationships first with students and with each other, things around student agency, teacher agency, things around like, how do we really design for lasting learning, like true, what makes true learning. So all sorts of different things and thoughts on there, things on data and feedback and all sorts of ideas. So yeah, anyone interested, if you haven't checked it out yet, you know, feel free to go there and take a read and then let me know what you think, if any of those stand out to you. But yeah, I'm hoping to get back. I love to write. I mentioned I love to read. I really do truly love to write as well. So I'm hoping to get more time opened up soon to be able to write some more posts as well.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing, Tanya. Tanya, where can people find to connect with you if they want to continue learning or to continue sharing their learning that they've learned from you?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I'd love to connect. As you can tell from this conversation, I love just talking and connecting with other educators. So I'd love, love to hear from you. So some ways to reach out. One would be on Twitter. Levi and I are both active on Twitter. We do a lot with PYP chat and also just sharing thoughts and connecting. So definitely you can connect there. My handle is at Mrs. MRS underscore Gilchrist, my last name, GILCHRIST. So at Mrs. underscore Gilchrist. You can also just email me anytime if you're an email person and want to talk more like one-on-one. My email is just my first name, Tanya, at AaronKentConsulting.com. So that's a pretty easy one to remember. And then my blog as well, you could reach out there, contact me through there. That's just my name, TanyaGilchrist.com. And you also might want to go to AaronKentConsulting.com for those interviews with authors. You can check out those there. And then that's another way, like often both Aaron and I are talking with the authors about some of our thoughts from reading our books. So it's another way to just hear a little more and kind of get to know each other asynchronously through videos that way, while also hearing from some great authors. Those would probably be the biggest ways. We do also have a Facebook group that's just called Reading and Writing Workshops in International Schools. And that's a great way to, again, collaboration, learn from each other. It's filled with thousands of educators from around the world that are also taking a workshop approach. So you can ask questions, see what others are doing, connect with others in that Facebook group setting. And then feel free to friend me on Facebook. Because what I do love about Facebook messages, I have to say, is that if you have ideas you want to talk out, like you can leave voice messages, which is really nice. Sometimes if you send me an email, like it'll be like paragraphs of writing and then like you can't immediately say back what you'd want to say. But in Facebook Messenger, you know, you can leave voice messages and then I can just shoot some messages back to you saying like, oh, here's what I'm thinking about that. What do you think? And we can talk back and forth that way, kind of walkie-talkie style. So always feel free to connect that way too. Yeah. And I'd love to hear from you. And it's been so wonderful to have this time together, Levi. And
thank you so much.
Again. Honoring me with this.
Oh my goodness. The honor is mine. Again, a big fan, always have been. Tanya, here at Recess Duty, we ask, and you're the first, we ask all guests, what do you remember from recess growing up?
Oh, what do I remember? Man, so many things, actually. Recess was a blast. I mean, I have to say, I definitely remember swinging on the swings. And like swinging really high and pumping our legs like we weren't supposed to do, you know, dangerously, but do it going for it anyway, because it was so fun. That's definitely a standout memory. Also, of course, climbing really high on like we called them moon climbers. They were like these dome climbers. I remember that being like one of my favorite things. Yeah, just running around playing. I think the height thing was fun for me. So going high on swings, climbing high on the moon climber. Climbing high on other things and jumping off. Like those are the memories that stand out to me. I think more so than I have to say, I wasn't super into like, you know, some students might be like playing kickball or playing this or that. I was more about like getting on the equipment and going as high as possible and just hanging out with my friends too. I definitely had wonderful friends all throughout school. And then thinking about back to recess elementary school, like it was such a great time to just like run around and talk with your friends.
You know, absolutely.
And like play imaginative games and things like that.
Agreed. Yeah. And again, this
what about you?
Things I remember from recess is playing tag with all my friends. And because I was the tallest, I was the most uncoordinated because I was growing so fast. And I remember being so slow and tripping all the time and being just rolling in wood chips all the time. I remember my mom always asking, why are you covered in scrapes and bruises? So that's actually one of the things I remember, funny enough. Thank you for asking. That was
really nice. I love that. Yeah, I love the covered in wood chips. That definitely brings it all back to those flavored
right. wood chips. And again, this is exactly the reason why I wanted to start Recess Duty, was because for a lot of people, recess was just the highlight of their day. And I think we should be creating Recess Duty for ourselves and as an adults. And I thank you so much for coming here, Tanya, and being our first guest here at Recess Duty.
My pleasure. No, thank you again and again for having me. And I can't wait to listen to the upcoming episodes as well. So excited.
Thank you, Tanya, for joining this week's episode of Recess Duty. Be sure to follow us in your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss our next episode. I'm Levi Allison, and I hope you have a great day of learning, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Recess Duty. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, please share this podcast with other educators so they can join the fun. And that is the end of our Recess Duty.